1 Kings chapter 14. Sermon 1 by Paul C. Jong. Do not fall into the sin of Jeroboam. 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 1 through 20. At that time, Abijah the son of Jeroboam became sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Please arise and disguise yourself, that they may not recognize you as the wife of Jeroboam, and go to Shiloh. Indeed, Ahijah the prophetess Usam is there, who told me that I would be king over this people. Also take with you 10 loaves, some cakes, and a jar of honey, and go to him. He will tell you what will become of the child." And Jeroboam's wife did so. She arose and went to Shiloh, and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were glazed by reason of his age. Now the Lord had said to Ahijah, "Here is the wife of Jeroboam coming to ask you something about her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus you shall say to her, for it will be when she comes in that she will pretend to be another woman." And so it was when Ahijah heard the sound of her footsteps as she came through the door. He said, "Come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why do you pretend to be another person? For I have been sent to you with bad news. Go, tell Jeroboam, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because I exalted you from among the people, and made you ruler over my people Israel, and tore the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it to you, and yet you have not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, and who followed me with all his heart, to do only what was right in my eyes. But you have done more evil than all who were before you. For you have gone and made for yourself other gods, and molded images to provoke me to anger, and have cast me behind your back. Therefore, behold, I will bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam every male in Israel, bond and free. I will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as one takes away refuse, until it is all gone. The dog shall eat whoever belongs to Jeroboam and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field. For the Lord has spoken. Arise therefore, go to your own house. When your feet enter the city, the child shall die, and all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him. For he is the only one of Jeroboam who shall come to the grave, because in him there is found something good toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. Moreover, the Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel, who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam. This is the day. What? Even now. For the Lord will strike Israel as a reed is shaken in the water. He will uproot Israel from this good land which he gave to their fathers, and will scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their wooden images, provoking the Lord to anger. And he will give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who sinned and who made Israel sin. Then Jeroboam's wife arose and departed, and came to Tirzah. When she came to the threshold of the house, the child died, and they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke through his servant Ahijah the prophet. Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he made war, and how he reigned, indeed they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. The period that Jeroboam reigned was 22 years. So he rested with his fathers. Then Nadab his son reigned in his place. We are considering together the portions in which the scriptures keep testifying about Jeroboam. Jeroboam was not of the royal line. He was a man of the tribe of Ephraim, descended from Joseph's second son. Whatever the tribe, all were the same people of Israel. The Jeroboam was the man who, before God, changed the law of God, the law of sacrifice of the temple, and switched the God he served. No one in the scriptures committed a sin as great as Jeroboam's. If we compare it with the sin of Judas, who betrayed Jesus in the New Testament, Jeroboam's sin is far greater than that of Judas. Judas's sin came out of personal weakness, but Jeroboam's was the sin of changing the law of God and challenging God. Jeroboam, who committed the greatest sin in the scriptures. That is why the Old Testament scriptures hold on to this to the very end. Whenever the writers of scripture introduce a king, they record that he remained in the sin of Jeroboam, or that he shared in the sin of Jeroboam. Jeroboam was originally a man-made king by God. Because Solomon had sinned greatly before God, God, in order to chasten Solomon, entrusted part of the nation to Jeroboam for a time. But Jeroboam, in order not to lose the position God had entrusted to him, used human means and methods. In the end, he was stripped of everything and cursed, and he dragged himself and all 10 tribes of Israel under the curse. He went so far as to make ordinary people priests. Jeroboam may well be called the chief of heretics, second only to Lucifer, who defied God. After Solomon died, the nation was divided through these two kings, his son Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And through Jeroboam, heresy arose, and people arose who followed that heresy. When God judges at the last, he will set Lucifer and Jeroboam side by side and deal with them for the same sin, just as he will judge Lucifer, who defied God in his pride. So he will charge Jeroboam with the same sin of plunging countless people into hell. What happens when man interprets the scriptures by his own thoughts? In history, we see people who left their names on the wrong side. Among the 12 disciples of Jesus and the church fathers who learned under them, there were those who lived for God and for the gospel, but there were also those who corrupted the word of scripture. In the age of the church fathers, a man named Origen rendered the scriptures differently, corrupting very important parts. Jeroboam likewise was a man who left his name on the wrong side before God. Among those who have studied the scriptures, there is also a man like Calvin. He is very famous, but he was greatly used on the wrong side. His mind was brilliant, but he interpreted the scriptures by his own thinking and fitted them into his own logic. The book he wrote handles the whole Bible by human logic. Through that book, countless people on this earth failed to meet God rightly. And though they claimed to believe in God, they could not help believing wrongly. He himself probably did not know it, but its influence was so great that today a great many people, clergy and church members alike, who claim to believe in God have gone wrong under his influence. They cannot believe the word of God just as it is. If it makes sense to their heads, they accept it. And if it does not, they interpret it away at will. That is why people believe in Jesus and yet do not receive the Holy Spirit, and believe in Jesus and yet do not obtain the remission of sin. The man God rebuked again and again in the scriptures is Jeroboam. Even after Jeroboam died, the phrase "he remained in the sin of Jeroboam" keeps following his descendants. In the word we read today as well, God said he would sweep away Jeroboam and his descendants completely, and that whoever belonged to Jeroboam would be eaten by dogs if he died in the city, and by the birds of the air if he died in the field. Since God so hated this man, we must know well why God so hated Jeroboam, so that we do not fall into that same wrong. Jeroboam, too, was an Israelite who believed in God, yet he was a man who did fatal harm to God and his gospel. The sick son, and the word that came to the prophet Ahijah. In verse 1 of chapter 14 it says, At that time Abijah the son of Jeroboam became sick. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 1. Jeroboam had a son named Abijah, and he fell sick. Since God had cursed him, things could not go well. He had become king, but he was under the curse, and so his son fell sick. Jeroboam asked his wife to arise and disguise herself so that no one would know she was the wife of Jeroboam, and to go to the prophet Ahijah. He told her to ask why this child had fallen sick and how he could be healed, but on no account to let her identity be discovered. So his wife disguised herself and set out. Now the prophet Ahijah was old at that time, and his eyes were dim so that he could not see. The eyes of his flesh were closed, but God told him everything. God said that the wife of Jeroboam would come in disguise, and that when she came, he was to tell her what God would do to Jeroboam, his family, and those who followed him. So the woman came in, disguised, but Ahijah already knew everything. He said, Come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why do you pretend to be another person? 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 6, and then delivered the word of God, and tore the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it to you. And yet you have not been as my servant, David, who kept my commandments, and who followed me with all his heart, to do only what was right in my eyes. But you have done more evil than all who were before you, for you have gone and made for yourself other gods and molded images to provoke me to anger, and have cast me behind your back. Therefore, behold, I will bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam every male in Israel, bond and free. I will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as one takes away refuse, until it is all gone. The dog shall eat whoever belongs to Jeroboam, and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field. For the Lord has spoken. Arise, therefore, go to your own house. When your feet enter the city, the child shall die. 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 8 through 12. The son died, just as the servant of God had said. When the mother returned and came to the threshold of the house, the child breathed his last. Yet God said that this child alone would come to the grave and be properly buried. The reason, he said, was that the child had held good intent toward God. God looks at a person's deeds, but he looks still more preciously at the person's heart. Though that child was a son belonging to Jeroboam, his heart was directed toward God and stood on God's side. And so God showed him this grace. The endless fighting brought by the sin of changing the law of sacrifice. Because of this sin of Jeroboam, changing God's law of sacrifice and casting God away, all 10 tribes of Israel, in fact, came to be killed, cursed, and plundered. And there was always war between Jeroboam and Rehoboam. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 6 says, There was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 6. And verse 7 says, There was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 7. Though they were the same people, one race, because of the changing of a single law of sacrifice, they fought for hundreds of years, generation after generation of their descendants. It was like one nation divided into south and north, confronting and fighting each other. God rebukes the sin of Jeroboam again and again. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 34 says, He did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin by which he had made Israel sin. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 34. Jeroboam did not sin alone. He led all his people to sin. They claimed to be offering worship before God. But since they served a golden calf they had set up, that worship itself became an act of defying God. They did not do it according to the law of sacrifice. They set up anyone at all. No high priest, no Levite, no descendant of Aaron to play the priest. And so their very sacrifice became a sin against God. Today as well, people who claim to believe in Jesus gather and say, God, forgive my sins, wash them away. They divide sin daily into original sin and personal sins, and say the personal sins must be repented of every day. And they make the confession of faith that Jesus did not bear the sins not yet committed. If they believe like that and live like that, they are offering worship that instead commits sin before God. To offer worship truly before God, one must believe and give thanks that God has removed all his sins. Only when it is offered like that does God receive it. Jeroboam's wrong lay not in a personal lack, but in changing the law itself. The sin of changing the law is cursed for generations. This is a mistake that must never be made. Personal shortcomings can be remitted before God without limit and healed without limit by the gospel of the water and the Spirit. But what happens if we change the law by which God removed our sins with the water, the blood, and the Spirit? That is precisely the way of becoming a man like Jeroboam. It is an enormous sin, sinning before God oneself, and making others believe it, and so sin as well. That is why God rebukes it again and again. From 1 Kings to the end of 2 Kings, he keeps saying, he remained in the sin of Jeroboam. He walked in the way of Jeroboam. Therefore, we who have received the remission of sin must never commit this sin, whatever happens. Yet today, the sin most easily committed is precisely this one. If a person does not know, he commits it without fail. And very easily at that, people fall for the words, it is enough just to believe in God. Must we really believe exactly according to the law, even how he removed our sins? But in believing in God, whatever else one may not know, in the matter of receiving the remission of sin, one must believe according to the law. The law of sacrifice, God ordained, in order to remit our sins, passing sins on by the laying on of hands. Cutting the throat of the sacrificial offering and receiving its blood. Entering the sanctuary and sprinkling the blood 7 times. Putting it on the horns of the altar of incense, and pouring out the rest at the base of the altar of burnt offering. This law of remitting sin through the laying on of hands and the blood of the sacrificial offering must be kept without fail. People commit this sin so easily, and yet they say it does not matter because they believe in God. And they even think they will be blessed. But whoever commits this sin receives not blessing but the curse. Every other sin may be remitted, but the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit is not remitted. To oppose this word by which God determined to save us with the water and the blood and to change the law oneself and preach it. That is the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. It is blaspheming the law God has established to accomplish salvation. And so such a person receives, not blessing, but the curse. Therefore, this sin must never be committed. Some say of me that I pick out and say only what others do not say. But this is not my personality. It is what the Word of God says. What one believes to be right must be pressed forward, no matter what anyone says. As Galileo, even as he came out of recanting before the Pope his statement that the earth revolves, still said, "And yet it moves." So what is right, and what is wrong. Just as the earth's revolving is an unshakable truth, so receiving the remission of sin by believing in the baptism Jesus received from John and the blood of the cross is a truth that can never be changed. Do not belong to Jeroboam, belong to Rehoboam. There are many people fallen into the sin of Jeroboam. Everyone on this earth today who claims to believe in Jesus and yet has not been born again is fallen into the sin of Jeroboam. And even among those who say they are born again, those who say this law of sacrifice is right, and that law of sacrifice is also right, what does it matter on what day the sacrifice is offered? So long as it is offered, are people who belong to Jeroboam. Such people pursue wealth and much money, and try to draw in great numbers, because they serve the golden calf. But the person who belongs to Rehoboam has nothing to do with numbers or forces, because his work is serving God. You and I must keep this in mind. Neither as individuals nor as a body must we belong to Jeroboam. The sacrifice must be offered according to the law of God. For us to receive the remission of sin from God, we must believe in the baptism Jesus received and the blood of the cross together. At once, our Lord came to this earth, received baptism from John the Baptist, and so took over all our sins, and was nailed to the cross, and received all the judgment for those sins, and so he saved us. Whoever believes in the baptism Jesus Christ received, and the blood of the cross just as they are, is a person saved spiritually. We are those who have believed with the heart unto righteousness and confessed with the mouth unto salvation. We have become the righteous. Only in the flesh we are still lacking. We have both of these. Then what is our work before God? It is to gather our hearts and preach the gospel the Lord desires. What remains for us is to gather our body, heart, and faith into one, and serve God. Spiritually, we are clearly without sin, and in the flesh, we are clearly lacking. Unless one clearly distinguishes this spirit and flesh, no one can enjoy the whole salvation. Has Jesus Christ taken on all your sins and mine? Or has he not? Has he removed all your sins? He has removed them. Do you believe in your heart the fact that your sins were passed on to Jesus Christ? Yes. Then in your heart there is truly no sin. Do you believe before God the fact that not someone else but you yourself have no sin? Yes. This is precisely salvation, the salvation obtained by believing with the heart. The Apostle Paul called this the righteousness obtained by believing with the heart. It is the righteousness of God obtained by believing in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. By believing with the heart, we have become righteous, and not one speck of our own deeds is included in it. But though we have become righteous, we are people with flesh, and whether born again or not, the flesh is lacking. God knows both our hearts and our deeds. Therefore, with this lacking flesh, we must serve God with faith and with the heart. There is no other God. We must serve only the Lord God who saved us, and that service is preaching the gospel to the whole world. When we serve the gospel with all our body, thoughts, and heart, we are serving God. The tribe that belonged to Rehoboam was the one tribe of Judah. It was the royal tribe, and through that tribe, David was born, and Jesus Christ was born. The tribe of Judah always stood on the side of offering the sacrifice according to the law of God. We must not fall into the sin of Jeroboam. We must hold on to the old sacrifice offered according to the law of God. And we must beware of those who say, "Let us recognize both." Such people invariably show off numbers and strength. "See how many we are. See what we are," so they boast, because they serve the golden calf. Beware of those who say this is right, and that is right too. The person who has received the remission of sin is righteous and has no sin. That has come about through faith. And yet a person must also acknowledge that though he has become righteous, his flesh is still lacking. Those who belong to Jeroboam say they have become righteous and are perfect even in the flesh. That is hypocrisy. On the last day, God will certainly distinguish those who belong to Jeroboam from those who belong to Rehoboam. He acknowledges those who belong to Rehoboam not because their conduct is better, but because they offered sacrifices by faith according to the sacrificial law God established and thereby receive salvation. Therefore, however lacking our flesh may be, we must be those who carry on their life of faith belonging to King Rehoboam. The person who has received the remission of sin must fear and serve God with body and heart. Since God has saved us, we must offer this body to righteous work and to serving the Lord, and offer our faith, our heart, and our material things. To the person who serves the Lord well like this, God gives blessing. This is not my word, but the word of God. Whether the church prospers or not, we must believe and go on as God desires. We must not swell our numbers and grow our forces by human means and methods. If God is pleased with us, He will make many turn and come in. And if not, then even if our numbers are few, we must keep the faith to the end and live. Around us there are many who say, "This is right and that is right too." As you evangelize, you will meet such people. They say that they too believe in the baptism of Jesus and the cross. And then they say that one receives the remission of sin by believing only in the blood of Jesus, and also that one receives the remission of sin by believing in the baptism and the blood. This is right, and that is right too. Such a person belongs to Jeroboam. In such a situation, do not quarrel. Greet them wisely and withdraw. If you are swept along, thinking, "Here is someone who believes like us," you will be brought down instead. People are easily pushed by the tide. Many people, when others go to the big church building, the big structure, the place where crowds gather, think that must be right and follow. But the person who truly seeks God goes, even if the numbers are few, to the place where God has spoken. Such a person is an upright person. Some people we know insist that there must be only one church in one region. That is a wrong interpretation of Scripture. They acknowledge many different things as salvation. Believing in the baptism of Jesus and the blood of the cross is salvation. Believing only in the blood of the cross is salvation. Even just calling on the name of Jesus is salvation. Another line says that believing only in the blood of the cross is salvation, and that believing in the baptism of Jesus together with the blood of the cross is actually wrong. Still another line says that believing only in the blood is salvation, and believing in the baptism and the blood is also salvation. Acknowledging both, so that by their own mouths they admit there are a good number of unsaved people in their church. But the answer is one. It cannot be two. Among all these, the only right one is the gospel of the water and the Spirit, which believes together in the baptism Jesus received, the blood of the cross, and the resurrection. If anyone says this is right, and that is right too, or that believing only in the blood of the cross is enough, you may be certain that it belongs to Jeroboam. Such people invariably count numbers as important and pour their hearts into building great church buildings. Worship similar on the outside, yet completely different within. If you belong to Jeroboam, you will sooner or later be dyed with that color. Even the priests or the people of that kingdom, who at first refused, saying they would not worship before a bull, in the end are all dyed. Seen from the outside, Jeroboam's worship also looks similar to the tabernacle of God. Inside the sanctuary there is a veil. The high priest enters within it once a year. There are the laver, the table of showbread, and the altar of burnt offering, and the laying on of hands, and the offering of the sacrifice look the same. So ordinary people consider that they are doing exactly the same thing. But if you draw back the veil and look inside, it is completely different. Inside the tabernacle of God, there is the ark of the Lord God, covered over by the two cherubim, and within it are the stone tablets, the pot of manna, and the rod that budded. But inside Jeroboam's sanctuary, in that place there is a golden calf. That is the decisive difference. Jeroboam exchanged God for a golden calf, changed the law of sacrifice God had established, and made ordinary people, not even sons of Levi, priests, so the king or anyone else could come in at any time and sprinkle blood. God cannot acknowledge this. However similar it looks on the outside, if you look deep inside, it is completely different. Even in holding an evangelistic rally, if one does not accurately deliver that our sins were passed on to Jesus when he received baptism, and that he received all the judgment for those sins on the cross, it is not a gospel evangelistic rally. But those who stress only the blood of the cross tell in detail how much Jesus hurt on the cross. How? When the nails were driven in and the blood drained from his arteries, his whole body trembled, even borrowing the words of a heart specialist. After hearing such stories, the audience is swept up in emotion and comes to believe that Jesus has taken away all their sins. I once attended such a rally for a week together with a fellow pastor and the students of the mission school. And up to Thursday they preached the blood of the cross. And only on the last day did they barely speak of anything else. That is not the gospel. Those who belong to Jeroboam are all alike in this. What I am doing now is giving you a preventative injection. I am giving you this injection so that even if someone like Jeroboam comes and entices you, you will not be taken in, and so that even if you have been deceived, you will come back quickly. Have you all received the injection? Yes, if you have all received it, that is enough. I too hold on to this word, and I thank God for giving me and you this faith so that we can belong to King Rehoboam. I close the message.